I'm joined in the studio by Dr. David Romano, the Thomas G. Strong Professor of Middle East Politics at Missouri State University. He's also a world-renowned scholar on the Kurdish people, and his research topics include nationalism, political violence, and other themes. Welcome back, Dr. Romano.
Thank you very much.
2 days after the historic 2020 election, so on Thursday, November 5th, I interviewed you about some red flags that you felt pointed to the near certainty or likelihood of political violence here in the United States. That interview aired the next day here on KSMU. Looking back now, it was prophetic because nearly 2 months later, a deadly insurrection occurred at the United States Capitol. Remind us, what were those red flags that you connected to the warning signs of political violence in other parts of the world?
Yeah, I thought the biggest red flags were two. And the first was that by putting forward this rhetoric that the election was rigged and that the other side was cheating and that the system wasn't working, Donald Trump and his supporters were effectively arguing that peaceful change within the system is impossible. And so when they're saying that the system is broken and that the others are stealing the country and so forth, it creates a rhetoric where you have to stand up to defend your country. The second red flag was the demonization of the other. So it wasn't like our worthy opponents in the opposition have put up a good fight and thank you, I'm ready to concede the election. It was nothing like that. It was instead, you know, and it's more extreme variants with QAnon, that they're pedophiles who drink children's blood. Like, I mean, demonization doesn't get more extreme than that. But even amongst more mainstream Trump supporters, there was this notion that the Democratic leadership was in league with these vague global elites intent on handing over American sovereignty to some world elite body. And so those were the two biggest red flags for me.
I want to ask you also about a bill that has been introduced in the Missouri legislature, Senate Bill 528, sponsored by State Senator Bill White. It would establish the Minutemen of the state. So under this act, the governor may call up Minutemen into service in defense of the state during a state of emergency. You have concerns about this because you feel it's related to the potential for political violence. Tell me why, and how is this related to other parts of the world?
Sure. I've looked at a lot of cases internationally about these kinds of militia groups. In Iraq, they're called the Popular Mobilization Forces. The Shiite militias raised in emergency conditions in the summer of 2014 when the so-called Islamic State, Daesh, was rampaging through the country. And in Iraq, these forces now number between 100 and 160,000, whereas the Iraqi army only numbers 190,000. And they veto various political initiatives, and they set up their own extortion and kidnapping rackets and attack opponents, political opponents of their patrons, and follow Iran's orders. This has been a disaster for Iraq. Also in Turkey, where I've lived and I've studied for a long time, back in the 1950s, in the midst of the Cold War, they set up a program, which they did in other European countries as well, which was a kind of secret stay home force in case of Soviet invasion. The only thing that really came of that was secret arms caches held by private military groups that acted in league with mafia agents and the more extreme elements of the Turkish military. And during the counterinsurgency campaign in Turkey at its height in the late 80s, 90s, when the Turkish government had peaceful political activists that it didn't have evidence to put in jail or round up, but nonetheless wanted eliminated, it would send these forces to go get rid of them. So my knee-jerk reaction when I see a bill like this is to say, oh no, not here too. And I can also go over why I think they put the elements that they did within the bill.
Okay, and you're referring to the part of the bill that says these firearms and gear shall be considered property of the state, but it won't be subject to seizure or registration or tracking.
Yeah, I think they have a couple of objectives. And the reason that they put that portion in the bill about the weapons being considered juridically property of the state, even though citizens are by it themselves and so forth, is because one of the objectives of this bill is they believe that the federal government's coming to take everyone's guns. And so with this, they've got a legal out to allow people to keep their guns. But there's something else very interesting in that bill, which is the membership is supposed to be secret. And I found that very concerning. That reminded me of the Cold War Home Guard Gladio program that I described in Turkey and so forth. And then they've got this portion where the state doesn't accept any liability or responsibility for anything this force does. And this is a force that, unlike the National Guard, is got no chain of command that leads to the federal government. We already have a National Guard. Why would we need Minutemen? But the Minutemen are not accountable at all to the federal government, and they imagine being able to use it if they had to.
So we've heard from you about what is getting the train off the tracks, what leads to political violence. What's the antidote to that?
It's a really good question. Unfortunately, I don't think there's one silver bullet, but I think there's a couple of things that I've seen in societies that have been traumatized by civil violence and how they try to get back on track. And I think the different sides need to spend time with each other, talk with each other, rather than habitate these echo chambers in social media where, you know, they unfriend someone with differing opinions and then just echo each other's thoughts. Once COVID is over, if we could have more in-person events where people actually talk to each other about this and stop demonizing the other side, if anything, this is a symptom of fraying communities that aren't seeing their populations in enough face-to-face engagements. And once you actually see people face-to-face and understand where they're coming from and talk things through, I think most of us have a reflex towards humanity and regard for the other rather than conspiracy theories and demonizing of the other.
Dr. David Romano, professor of Middle East Studies here at Missouri State University, thank you very much for coming back to talk to us.
My pleasure.